we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. So thank you for tuning in wherever you may be, if you're listening on the internet or if listening later in the day in the AM signal, which goes quite a ways from Cocoa, Florida. We thank you for tuning in. We are Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And if you're ever in the area, we would love to have you visit us. For those of you who are in Brevard County and listening, if you do not have a church home, we would be honored to have you come and worship Jesus with us. We love him and love watching what he does in transforming people's lives. So thank you for tuning in. Do want to remind you, coming up next week is primary election day. And so first of all, you need to be registered to vote. If you haven't registered to vote, it's too late at this point in time for the primary, but do get registered for the general election, which will be taking place later this year. We also want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. They operate here in the central Brevard County area and can help you with any of your heating or air conditioning needs. And so if they can be of a blessing to you, give them a call, 759-3284. And so we've been talking about the kids that Abraham has had with Keturah. I want to take you now to Genesis chapter 17. Do want to invite you out, by the way. I don't think I mentioned this on yesterday's program, but we are in a season of 30 days of prayer leading up to Easter. And so on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the church, 165 North Grove Street, at 6 a.m. of a morning, we are meeting for prayer, and the doors are open. If you cannot be there, please be in prayer. You don't have to be where we are to pray. God can hear you wherever you're at. But whatever you do, make an intentional effort. Don't fall into the trap of, well, I'm just going to lay here and pray. That works for some of us insomniacs on occasion, but even then it's not intently focused prayer, or intensely focused. So get up. Get yourself in a position where your body is not going to overrule your spirit like it did when Jesus was asking the disciples to pray on the in the Garden of Gethsemane. Instead, get up and say, I'm going to be awake, I'm going to be alert, and I am going to pray fervent prayers. I am going to enjoy the fellowship that we have with God. And that's something that I was sharing about in our vintage service a little over a week ago, and that was this, you know, we commune with God, we enjoy our time with God, not that it is a drudgery, but instead it's a pleasure and an honor and something we enjoy doing. Does your prayer time thrill you or bore you? Because it should be a privilege and an honor to talk to the King of the universe, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. And so may God create in us all a desire this weekend to enjoy his presence and worship him with a jubilant heart. So let's, if you don't have a church to worship in, maybe it's been a while since you've been in church. I was reading an article here a little over a week ago, And it said that when they do surveys, they find that 40% of the population of the United States claims to be in church worshiping on a weekly basis, W-E-E-K-L-Y, 40%. They've actually found that on average, from church attendance records, that it's less than 20% of America worships God. And now that may be on any given Sunday, but what the survey was saying is people overestimate the amount of time that they are worshiping God. And what we find here in the past decade or so is as people have gotten older, the number of services that they attend on a regular basis has diminished. It used to be you were considered a regular church attender if you were there most Sundays, and now the standard is, or the mean, or the normal for most people is they're lucky to be there half of the weekends a year. And so, you know, we talked about commitment the other day. Some of that might be commitment. Some of it might be because we have gotten older and some people can't drive and get out anymore. But sometimes it is because we have allowed other priorities to supplant the priority of worship in our life. If you do not have a church to worship in, we would like you to consider allowing Merit Assembly of God to be that solution to where you do come. And listen, we are not a large church, but we do love God. We do love people. And we were celebrating in prayer last Thursday, a little over a week ago, when we were in prayer. We were celebrating. We were thanking God for the kids and the young people that he's brought to Merit Assembly of God in the past year and a half to 2 years. And so, and continues to do so. And I also want to say thank you to the laborers, the team that comes and helps and says, you know what, whatever we can do to minister. And so, there's just a great team that comes together to pour all we can into kids. And so, when the Wednesday night service ended on that particular night, this is a week and a half ago, man, the parking lot was just buzzing with kids. They were rollerblading and playing basketball, and senior citizens out there playing basketball with, you know, teenagers and 7 and 8 year olds. It's absolutely wonderful to see what God is doing. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, we would be honored to be a solution for you if you are looking for a church home. So let's get into Genesis chapter 17. And let me just read this passage for you. And it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am God, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendants, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Now listen to this. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Now listen to this. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. This begins where God is trying to tell Abraham that he is transforming him, he is transforming his wife, and he's getting ready to transform his entire legacy. And Abraham is just overwhelmed with that. He says, I'm going to give you a sign, and there's going to be a covenant relationship. Covenant is getting ready to, it didn't mark Abraham's first 100 years, but it marked his last years. And so he says, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give Sarah a child, even though it is no longer biologically possible, the New Testament says. And so Abraham is overwhelmed with the improbability of this word coming to pass. And so he's honest before God with it. By the way, there is no sense to lie to God. In actuality, what happens is whenever we try and deceive God, whenever we try and lie to him, we do not lie to him. We actually lie to ourselves. It is impossible to lie to God. He knows everything there is to know about you. And by the way, he loves you anyway. He just believes that he can do things better for you. Listen to what he said. Let me see if I can find the verse here. He talks about all of the things that he is going to do for Abraham. And he says, I will make you this and I will make you that. And it's, I'm not finding it right here, right now, but I will establish my covenant with you. I will give to you and your descendants after you. Anyway, it's there. I just read it. So God tells Abraham, I'm getting ready to make you what you've never been before. And I want to encourage you to believe God for greater things, that God will make you and transform you. We talk about this all the time. I understand that we all have unique natures and characteristics, but God can make us into something special. There's an artist, an art store in the Merritt Square Mall, and Bruce Regal is the owner of that store. And you go in there, and when you do, it's just to the west of the food court there. When you do, you go in there, and I'm amazed at the number of different materials that artists use, and they make these beautiful little projects out of. And I've got one of my children who is very artsy, and so without having any of these discussions with her about what's going on in the art store, I come home one day and she's got a utility knife and she's working on this little square rectangular-ish type trash can. It's kind of squared at the bottom, but it's rectangular in length. And so she's taking a utility knife and she's starting to cut on it. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, I found this at," and she named whatever store it was. I don't remember what it was. And she said, "And I'm going to take it and I'm going to deconstruct it and I'm going to make it into a work of art." And sure enough, a couple of days later, she says, here's what I've come up with. And it's very, very nice. But if you were to see what they had done with the original design, a work of art was never what it was created to be. It was what it was recreated to be. There was somebody who had a better vision, a better purpose in mind, and it was transformed. She was home on spring break here a couple of weeks ago, and I came home one night, and her and her sister came in and said, "Hey, Dad, I just saw some wood out by the side of the road. Can you go with me so we can look at it?" It was dark outside, and she wanted to go down and look at it because she thought that she could make something beautiful out of it. You see, I don't care how jacked up or how messed up your past is. I do know this. God is a master restoration artist. He will restore value. You know what those artists do? They take something of minor value and they create something that is priceless, of great, great value. They make something beautiful out of something that wasn't all that beautiful to begin with. And so I want to encourage you, don't limit yourself as to what God can do to make you. It says here that when Abraham heard all of this, he was overwhelmed with the improbability of it. And he says, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And he began to pray for his kids. By the way, I will tell you, that is a great prayer to pray for all of your kids, but not as at a sacrifice of covenant, but say, "Oh, that my kids, oh, that my grandkids, oh, that my neighbors and my coworkers and my nieces and nephews, oh, that they would live before God." Because you know what God tells Abraham? "When you prayed that, I heard you. But I'm not going to lower my standards because you don't have faith to believe everything that I've promised you, but I have heard your prayer." And so today, if you are praying for unsaved kids or unsaved grandkids or even great grandkids, I want you to know God hears you. Call them out by name and say, "Oh God, that they would live before you, that they would live in covenant before you. God, that they would know you the way that I know you, that they would know you in a supernatural manner, not just in an inherent, learned manner, but God, they would know you in spirit and in truth. They would worship you." And so here's what God says. "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac." By the way, if you ever get into an intense discussion with God, do not expect to come out of that discussion having won the argument. You're not. God, listen, Peter at one point in time said this, "Not so, Lord." No, God. And there is a paradox in saying those two. One of them assumes that we have the authority to speak and dictate the terms to God himself. It is a paradox to call him Lord and then tell him what to do and instruct him what his limitations are and what he can and cannot do. I want you to understand we need to remember who God is in the process. So he says, "No, I'm going to do exactly what I said. You're going to have a son through your wife, Sarah, and I'm going to establish my covenant." We'll talk about covenant next week. But I want to talk to you about Ishmael here right now, because it says, "And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him." In other words, God says, I'm blessing people before you even ask. And so even though Ishmael later on would not only mock Isaac, but the New Testament, it says that he even persecuted him because Isaac was not in the stage of development that Ishmael was. God said, "I will bless him." I do want to encourage you this. If you are living under God's blessing, and don't make fun of something that God is still working on. I love to watch the home improvement shows, whether on Netflix or wherever I see them. I used to see them when I was going to physical therapy. They would have these programs on. People would come in and they would see it a week before, and they said, "There is no way that you can get this done in 1 week." And I want you to know that whatever stage of development you see something in now, it can change in an instant. God can cause someone to mature and grow. Covenant kids come in all different ages and developmental stages. It isn't finished yet. Ishmael, even though he was blessed, he tried to make the people of covenant, he tried to make his life more difficult and more challenging. By the way, I will tell you this, when Esau was looking for a way to annoy Isaac and Rebekah later on, it was he went to Ishmael to find a wife, and Galatians says that Ishmael represents a covenant of bondage. And so I pray that we realize that it's one thing to be blessed by God. It's another thing to be blessed by God and walk in covenant with him. And here's one of the ways that you will recognize the distinction. Are you blessed or are you walking in covenant? And that is, what is in your heart towards the covenant people of God? Are you making life more challenging for them, or are you making it better for them? Are you making it more difficult, or are you using the blessing? See, here's what God had told Abraham: "I will bless you and make you a blessing." God told Abraham about Ishmael: "I will bless you, but his life is going to be a life of contention. He's going to be warring against this person and that person. It's going to be a very challenging lifestyle that he leads. You can be blessed and still struggle. But I'm actually trying to use this broadcast as an invitation to a deeper life, a deeper walk, a more covenant walk. You know what I actually believe? I believe somebody's going to be listening to this broadcast and God's going to do a work in your life, and you're going to move from an uncommitted live-in relationship. I believe that God is looking to invite somebody to say, "You know what? Let's make this a lifelong commitment. Let's make this a relationship that honors God." You see, here's a dirty little secret that not too many people talk about, but there are huge numbers of people who are attending Bible preaching churches, and they know when to stand and they know when to sit and they know the jargon and all of that, but their lifestyle outside of the church lacks the covenant level of commitment that God truly wants to bless them with. Does that mean I'm here to beat you up? Absolutely not. What I'm here to tell you is that God wants to invite you. You see, Ishmael got gifts as well, but all he did was get sent away from Abraham with 14 years of growing under his leadership, and he got some life skills and some food provision. But Ishmael still had enough insight to recognize that when Abraham died, he needed to come and honor him. as his father. Today, I know this, that God wants to bless you. I pray above all else that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And so you might have the new car, you might have perfect health, you might have the good house, you might have the everything going for you that you could imagine. But if you're not walking in covenant with him, you're missing out on a higher quality of life than you could ever imagined. We'll share some more about covenant. I pray, you know, when I'm doing these series, I wanted to teach this weeks ago, months ago actually, and never got released to do it. It was never the right time until right now. And we've had a number of people that called in and said, you know, that word really blessed me. I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Here's what I do know, that God wants to walk in covenant with each and every one of us. By the way, did you know, we call it the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it could be better referred as the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant that I create with you. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Drink from it." That's what the New Testament is all about. It is actually an invitation to an entirely new level of covenant. You see, the old covenant was on terms that man could never meet. The new covenant was on terms that Jesus fulfilled in himself and made a reality for you and I to be the covenant people of God. I'm going to close this weekend out and pray for you and pray that you will experience the blessings and the favor of God as you walk in a committed relationship with him. Father, right now, we thank you. We thank you for our partners here on the radio. We thank you for the people at the radio station that help make this broadcast a reality, and their vision to take the gospel to this community, this area of Florida. God, I pray that everybody who's listening, God, that you would invite them and all of us would say yes to not only being blessed in our body, blessed in our soul, blessed in our finances, blessed in our life, but Lord, we would say yes to walking in a committed covenant relationship with you, where there's no turning back, there's no looking for something better, no problem that's too hard. God, I pray that every person listening would walk in victory, that the people who know their God, that they would do great exploits this weekend for your glory, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. 'cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my world?